Turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The page number is also in the bulletin for Jeremiah chapter 17, 9. Now, I was preparing for this sermon, came upon the following story. It was about a man who went to the opera and he saw one of the singers on stage and fell in love with her because of her beautiful soprano voice. And he thought to himself, no matter what happens, her voice will get us through everything. So after a courtship, they got married. And on the night that they were married, she comes into the bedroom and she takes out her glass eye and puts it in a glass. Then she takes off her false eyelashes and puts them down. And then she takes off a wig. And finally, she took off a false leg. And the man at that point said, "Sing, woman, sing." See what happened? A false impression. Do you realize that is rampant throughout the world? There was a survey done. And here's what the survey said. It was done of women. 15% of ladies tinted their hair. 38% wore a wig. 80% wore rouge. 98% wore eyeshadow. 22% false eyelashes. 93% nail polish. And 100% voted in favor of a resolution condemning any type of false advertisement. Deceit. Deception. Do you realize that Christians can have a problem with that too? God's people. You would think it would be truthful in our hearts. But look at what Scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Let's pray and ask God to bless His word. Lord Jesus, we ask you now to help us to see who we really are. Not with the makeup of false piety, but what's really there. What is really before us. What is really in our hearts. Help us to be honest with ourselves. I make this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dustin Neal may not be a name that is familiar to you, but recently, you may have heard in the news about the Palisades fire. Well, this man showed up in his bright red fire truck. Now, it was an older model, but it was a fire truck. He was in the greenish-yellow fire outfit. He had all the tools that a fireman would need. And as he pulled into that area, which had been devastated by fire, they were going to wave him on through. But then, one of the officers thought, something just isn't right. So he did some checking. First clue that there was a problem was the truck he was driving was more than 30 years old. It was a type that was not used by any fire departments. But they checked and they checked and they checked. And here's what they found out, that he had been arrested 5 years ago or more and spent, I believe, I misquoted there, 5 years in jail for arson. He had tools in his truck that could be used to break into a house. Do you see what he did? He dressed up as a fireman. He was being deceitful to try to get in and to create more havoc, more damage, and to steal all the while pretending to be a fire. The LAPD chief said this: "We have people who will go to all ends to do what they do. And what are they doing? They're being deceptive. They're putting on a false front. It's like the old Western towns where they looked like they were two-story buildings, but they weren't. There was only one floor." And we see this all over the place, whether it is a politician who says, "Oh, I have all these credentials," but they don't. And that has happened recently. And it can even happen in restaurant chains where you see these online surveys. Do you realize that somewhere between 16 and 40% of those are false? That they either got employees calling in saying it's great or disgruntled employees saying it's a rotten place to eat. It's a violation of the ninth commandment. And let me tell you, this is how low it goes. Now, in schools, cheating is a problem, especially with cell phones. And, you know, in our day, you know, it was the note, or if they were really creative, they would use the blue ink on black shoes that shows up as purple, and you could just sit down and read your answers for the test. Well, now here's what they do. They have a black cell phone, and they wear black pants. They have the cell phone on black pants. The teacher can't all the time distinguish between the two. What are they doing? They're being deceptive. They're lying. They're lying. And that lying does not just begin with our actions. What does Jeremiah say? "The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it?" And I believe the Holy Spirit has given us this portion of Scripture so that each and every one of us look into ourselves and guard our own hearts, so that the Lord God doesn't say to us, "Get away from me, I never knew you," on the day of judgment. Your hearts need to be true to God. Need to be honest with yourself. Not deceptive. And here's the first way that you guard your heart. You guard your heart by being aware what you are capable of. Now, in this passage, the first big concept you see is that word heart. And many people don't really understand what the heart is in the Bible. And there's a lot of confusion. Some may think it's the physical heart that pumps blood throughout your body. And that is true. That is one accurate way to look at it. And I'm sure in the Bible, that is one of the ways that it is used as a physical organ. Others may view it as mere emotions. Now, I say mere emotions as in only emotions. And you've heard this in English. You see somebody who's crying at a funeral or at a tragedy. Oh, he has a lot of heart. But the heart that is referred to here is more metaphorical, and it is not just emotions. It's not just our thoughts. It's not just our will. It is all of those things. It is the very center of our being. It's what drives us. And in Scripture, listen to what it says about the heart. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength." Give it your all. The very center of your being, what drives you, is your heart. And we see this in athletics, where you will have an athlete. And he's not just an average athlete. Everything in his life is dedicated to the pursuit of athletic perfection, and we say, "Oh, he put his heart into it," meaning he gave it his all. He trained, he looked at the tapes, he read the playbook, and he worked out. That is what the heart is. It is our being, the center of it, which drives us in all that we do. It includes the emotions, the mind, the will. Metaphorically speaking, it is the center of our being. And in the Bible, it is referred to in different ways. For example, you can have a hard-hearted person. That person's entire life is directed away from God. They don't want to have anything to do with God. They reject God just like Pharaoh did. And do you want to know how bad it can get? Well, in Deuteronomy 6:5, in this world, long ago, the Bible says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart were evil. In other words, the vast majority of mankind in the ancient world was dedicated to turning away from God, and their life was that of the pursuit of evil. Once had a professor at Covenant College say this about human beings: the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And we think of all the problems that humanity can have. We think of the economic problems, the social problems, but the real problem is the heart. And here, it's the deceitfulness of it all. What's the heart really like? The heart lies above all things. The heart is fraudulent above all things. The heart is deceptive above all things. The heart is hypocritical above all things. What Jeremiah is saying, you can't trust your heart. You can't trust your inner being. It's not honest. It's not truthful. It's not trustworthy. And I want you to think of the situation that Jeremiah and the prophets found themselves in. Were God's people offering up sacrifices? Were they worshiping God? Were they fasting? Yeah. And what does Isaiah say about all that? I've had more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and fat, of fatted animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my court? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. And why? Because they did all those religious things, but their hearts were far from God and they were still practicing evil. So much so that they deceived themselves. I want you to think of the Sermon on the Mount. What did Jesus say about the hypocrites? Oh, they have these wonderful long prayers. They weren't pleasing to God. They had these faces. Oh, I am fasting for the Lord. No, they weren't. They were putting on a show to get attention. And we can do the same thing today. Show up at church, but it doesn't mean a thing. You can put money in the offering plate and make sure everybody sees you. It doesn't mean a thing. You can have long prayers, but it doesn't mean a doggone thing because of your heart. And Robert Murray McShane, a Scottish preacher, said this: you draw a cloak over your heart and put on a smooth face and make out the side of a saint can cover the hearts of a fiend. That's what can happen. Lies, deception, it's all part of the heart. Diane Langsberg is a psychologist, and she was doing a speech about the problems in ministry and in churches where you have, one, ministers who seem to always get involved in some sort of sexual relationship that they shouldn't be in, or they are using power in illegitimate ways. And she turned to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12, and here's what it says. There are those who are clean in their own eyes, but they are not washed of their filth. What she's saying is that's the church at times. We think we're so pure, but we have never washed ourselves of our filth. How many times do you hear of ministers who will preach the gospel and say, adultery is wrong, and they turn around and they do it themselves? The heart is deceitful. They're clean in their own eyes, but they're full of filth. And the danger is, on the day of judgment, you're going to have people coming to Jesus and saying, didn't I do X, Y, and Z for you? Didn't I help people for you? And Jesus will say, get away from me. I don't know you. Is it possible that you can tell a lie so much that people will believe it? Yes. Is it possible you can tell a lie about yourself so much you start to believe it yourself? Yes. I know someone. True story. This man did something that was right and good. But the rest of his life is full of lies. It is full of immorality. But anytime you talk to him, you would think he suffers more than anyone else in the world. He is more righteous than everyone in the world. Everyone has done him wrong. He's believed his own lie. Oh, look how great I am. But it's all a false front. It is a lie. And we think about the implications for this. If you are mature in the faith, you are going to recognize how deceitful each and every one of you can be. The people who worry me the most are those who think they never sin. They never lie. They're always right. Beware. Beware. Beware, because you can be misled and mislead yourself. Deception is there, and all of us can be tempted by it, especially in today's world where everything seems to be driven by image. What you need to do is take a look at yourself. And sometimes in the quietness of the evening, as you are sitting on your front porch, ask yourself, how is my life doing compared to what God really wants? And also combat all the thought of the modern world that you've got to fake it till you make it. Combat all that worldliness that says the end justifies the means. No, it doesn't. Not in God's eyes. On Netflix, they did a series. It's not a series. It's a documentary. It's about the Liver King. Who's the Liver King? It is about this guy and his family. And they wanted to go back to nature. And he is eating raw meat. I guess it's good for you or something. And he's working out and doing all these things. Do you know how much money that guy made? Millions, because he sold his products, this raw meat and everything. Raw liver, pictures of him, you know, out in the wild eating raw meat and everything from some dead animal. Well, and if you looked at him, he looked like he was pumped. You know what they found out? He was on steroids. He was taking steroids. He was
deceitful. And here's what he said when he was confronted about it. Well, at least I got people living better lives. The end justifies the means. You lie.
And you expect us to believe it, and you suckered people in. That's deception. Now, I could leave you at this point and everyone would feel guilty. But I'm not going to leave you guilty because I believe there is hope here. I think what Jeremiah is setting up is the redemption that comes through the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Because at the same time, Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things. In chapter 31, listen to what he says. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, previously in 17:1, he said, Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their heart. But now, he said, something's going to happen. And what's going to happen? For the Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and changes you so that you will want to be truthful and you will truly want to do what God wants you to do. Now, here's the problem we all have. You know what you really need? What non-Christians need? Heart surgery. Oh, you'll take it for your physical heart, your statins, get your exercise in, eat those low cholesterol foods. Oh, but the heart surgery we need is much more radical. It's to change your dispositions. If your computer has a problem, it has to get reprogrammed. Well, we need to be reprogrammed here. And part of the glory of the gospel is here we are promised a new covenant relationship with God. Because the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and changes you. Rewrites his law, not on tablets of stone, but on flesh. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Just as God is a God of truth, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And once that happens, you can then be honest with yourself. Do you know why people aren't honest with themselves? Because they can't handle the truth about themselves. That they're that wicked, that evil. But with the Holy Spirit, you can admit that. Because part of the reason the law is rewritten on your hearts and you can be truthful is because you have a Savior who even died for deceitful, lying people. Remember, Peter was deceitful at times. But Jesus died for Peter. And if we're going to be his people, and he our God, he will write the truth into your hearts so that you can be honest enough to turn to Christ. You won't be separated from God. You can start being honest. And you can start saying, yeah, I'm lazy. I need Jesus. Yep, got a problem. I admit it. I need Christ. That's the truth you can have. Martin Luther was the great reformer in the Reformation. He was under attack by the Catholic Church. Here's what he said one time. I am more afraid of my own heart than the Pope and all his cardinals. did Luther understand that his greatest enemy was not the Pope? It was not the cardinals. It was himself and what goes on inside of him. Because he realized the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? And who can understand it? Christ, who died for deceptive people, to cleanse them from their sin, to make them truthful. Let's pray and ask God that the Spirit of truth would reside with us. Our Heavenly Father, be with us now. Spirit of truth, show us how much we need the Holy Spirit to set us free from lies and deceptions, to be honest with ourselves, so that we can have an honest community in which we feel open enough to talk about our sins and the need of redemption. Oh God, help us to be the type of people who aren't deceptive, but truly love you. I make this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.